Hello out there, and welcome to Work with Miles Okazaki, where I share a few things I've picked up over the years as a guitarist and composer in New York City. If you like what you hear, you could go over to Patreon and become a member for a very small fee and have access to video versions of all of these episodes and others that aren't included here. Download materials such as sheet music and exercises, and have the ability to ask me questions directly and request topics for new episodes. This program focuses on the guitar, but goes into many other areas, so there should be something for everyone. And the show starts now. All right, welcome back to Work with Miles Okazaki. Shout out to new members. We've got, in the last couple days, Derek and Arnon Wanasiri, looks like from New Zealand. I don't have statistics on where everyone is from in this community, but it does seem like we have people in every part of the globe, every continent, and many, many countries. So I want to thank you for continuing to spread the word and share with your friends in your area via word of mouth that this channel is useful or interesting to you, or even inspiring if we are lucky. All right. So that being said, it's Monday, March 10th. I like to start the week with something to get us into the creative frame of mind, you know. And one of my tools to do that is this book, 351 Shapes. Now, if you don't know about this, you can go back and search the post. 351 Shapes is a book that's free for members. And it's a big calendar that you can open up, and you get a scale that day. And eventually it would take you through all possible scales if you did every day. But it's a nice way to get some kind of random thing to think about that day, you know. And so when I open up the book today, I get these notes. C, D flat, E flat, G. So let's do a kind of guided practice and meditation on what these notes could do and what they could mean. When I saw this today, I realized, oh, this is a very special scale, a very special shape. It's one of only four of its kind, because what it has is every interval is in those notes. You can find every interval in those notes, meaning, where's the minor second? It's here. Major second is here. Minor third, major third, all the way up to major seventh. They're all in there. They call these all interval tetrads or all interval tetrachords. Things where you have four notes that contain all the intervals. You can't do it with three notes. So the fewest amount of notes you can do it with is four. Now, what am I talking about? Does this sound a little theoretical? Let's just find them. Let's find these actual intervals, okay? What is the smallest interval? The smallest interval is a minor second or a semitone. Well, you know, this reminds me of the old song. That's an old tune called That's All. It's played at, you know, people play it at the end of a gig or something like that. Anyway, that sometimes these little scales, especially the smaller ones, will remind you of some fragment of a melody or something like that. And that one just accessed that part of my memory. But anyway, let's find all the intervals. Where is the minor second? It's right here, right in the beginning. Between C and D flat, okay? Okay, so if what I'm saying is true, there should also be a major second. That's the next interval. Well, there it is. Between D flat and E flat. And then there should be a minor third. Well, it's just those two put together. A semitone and a tone make a minor third. Between C and E flat, okay? Major third. Now, there's no major third from C, but there's one up here. Between E flat and G. Okay? What's the next thing? A perfect fourth. Well, I don't see one. I don't see one here. But we have to remember that scale goes through different octaves, you know, so any interval could be found in any octave of the scale. So that right there, G to C, well, that's a perfect fourth. Okay. And what's the next thing? This is a tritone, or an augmented fourth, diminished fifth, half an octave, whatever you want to call it. That's right there, between D flat and G. Okay? So now, moving past the tritone, we get into the second half of the intervals. And the second half of the intervals are just, you know, inversions of ones we've already done. So, for example, the next thing past the tritone is a perfect fifth. Well, we already saw a perfect fifth is here between C and G, right? Because we did the perfect fourth between G and C. Perfect fifth is here. And then the augmented fifth, or the minor sixth, flat six, well, that should be the inversion of the notes that we use for the major third, right? Because just in the same way that a perfect fourth plus a fifth makes an octave, a major third plus a minor sixth makes an octave, right? The major third that we had was E flat to G. So if we put the G in the bottom, invert it, then we have it there. Augmented fifth or flat six. Okay? Okay, now the minor six, the major six should be the inversion of the minor third, right? The minor third that we found was between C and E flat. So if we put the E flat on the bottom, we got a major six right there. Okay, what's bigger than that? Flat seven, right? Flat seven, well, that's just the inversion of a whole step, which we have found between D flat and E flat. So put the E flat on the bottom. There you go, minor seven interval. And the major seventh, well, what plus a major seventh makes an octave? A semitone, right? Here's our semitone. The inversion of that, throw the D flat to the bottom. You get your major seventh. Okay, so there it is. Actually, that chord is contains all the notes of this. Have you ever seen this chord? It's a very common chord, maybe even more common like this. I'm playing E flat, D flat, G, C as an E flat 13 chord. Doesn't have a fifth in it, right? From the E flat anyway. E flat 13. There I'm alternating with a dominant 7 sharp 9 chord. Dominant 7 sharp 9 chord, interestingly enough, is another one of these all interval tetrads. So you can explore that in your own free time. So what could we do for a guided practice, I wonder? Let's mess around with this and say, okay, we found all the intervals in these notes. C, D flat, E flat, G. What if we could think even more in more depth about this structure. Not those particular notes, but the structure itself. What's the difference between notes and a structure? Well, I can say like a major triad is like C, E, G. Those are notes. But a major triad is also D, F sharp, A. So a major triad doesn't mean the notes that are in it. It's the type of structure. So the major triad is like 1, 3, 5, right? Or if I was to put that in semitones, the C major triad in semitones, like if I gave numbers to all the notes of a chromatic scale, and I start with 0, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 0, 1, 2, and so on. So every note of the scale has a number, you know. Then I could just call that triad 0, 4, 7, 0, 4, 7, right? And now, if I call it 0, 4, 7, I can have the 0 be any note. This is 0, 4, 7. That's 0, 4, 7. This is 0, 4, 7. This is 7, 4, 0. You know, so that gives you like the flexibility to move the structure around without thinking about the exact notes. I mean, you still have to know what the notes are, but it's like talking about a chord as like a dominant seventh chord as opposed to saying like C7. You know, C7 makes a specific note. That's C, E, G, B flat. The dominant seventh chord is just like the container. You know, it's the shape. That's 1, 3, 5 flat seven and so on. So we could think about this the same way. 0. So this could be 0, and then this would be 1, right? And what is the E flat going to be? That's going to be 3. Because 0, 1, 2, 3, right? 0, 1, 3. And then what's the G going to be? That's going to be 7. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 0, 1, 3, 7. So let's find some different ways of playing this thing. Let's do it this way. This will be our guided practice. What we're going to do is instead of finding all the intervals in this one key, we're going to find structures that match a certain interval. So I'll just stay with me here, and we'll do it together. We'll figure it out. I haven't done this before with this particular thing. So let's use our open E string on top. That's nice to use. And we'll take the smallest interval. Smallest interval is a minor second. So we'll take a D sharp to E. What are the other two notes? What are the other two notes? Well, if this is a minor second, that means this has to be 1, 0. The D sharp has to be 0 and the E has to be 1. That means 3 is an F sharp and 7 is an A sharp, or you call it G flat, B flat, whatever. So let's find a chord that meets that. We need a G flat and a B flat. How about this? Sounds like a G flat 7, G flat 13. In fact, it's the same voicing you would hear in a, like in Crepuscule with Nelly, Thelonious Monk. That you hear that same voicing right there. Was a tangent. That's what we call a tangent. Okay, so I hope you understand what I mean by 0, 1, 3, 7. I'm going to use that for every chord. In this chord, 0 is the D sharp, 1 is the E, the F sharp or the G flat is 3, and 7 is that B flat. That's the transposition. It's a minor third higher than the one we started with. says to change the battery. So, 1 second. All right, I'm back. Fresh battery in the camera. And we were looking at this chord. G flat, B flat, E flat, E natural. And this chord, E flat or the D sharp, is the zero. The E is one. The G flat is three. And the B flat is seven. It's a minor third higher than when we started. Now we're up here. Okay, so now what I want to do, I just want to keep this E in the top and change the interval that's on the top two strings. So what we'll do is we'll change this interval, we'll make it bigger by sliding this note down. This way, okay? I don't know if this is possible, but we'll find out. So our first chord is here. Now we're gonna go to a D to E. That's a whole step. So we're gonna have to figure out what are the other two notes. Well, the whole step is between the one and the three, right? When it's transposed to this key. I'm starting on C sharp, D, E, G sharp. Step D to E. That means we got to find a C sharp and a G sharp. How about here? Maybe it would sound cooler to have the G sharp above the C sharp so you have a perfect fifth in the bottom. I like that. Through the voicing that you made in the transposition, but that it's still the same scale. So the first chord was here. You know what I'll do? I'll sing that melody to That's All on each one of these chords. Come here. Those are the four notes I'm using. Okay. Now. Let's take it to be a minor third on top. We're going C sharp to E. Well, it's going to be the same notes, right? Because it's like, you still have the same exact notes, just in a different order, because you need the C sharp to E now in the top. So that means you need to put the D somewhere that was there, and then you can still use the G sharp. So let's keep the G sharp in the same place and just put the D in the bottom open. Top of a E13 chord, right? La da 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 major third in the bottom, C to E. Well, the major third is between 3 and 7. That would mean that C is 3, which puts us in. And a scale that starts on A, where A is 0. A, B flat, C, E. La-da-da-da. So we need to put the A and the B flat somewhere. How about this? B flat, A, C, E. This looks like an A minor triad with a B flat in the bottom. Or this kind of sounds like a B flat major 7 with a sharp 11. You get so many sounds out of these all interval tetrachords because of the way that they contain everything. La-da-da-da. Now we have B natural to E. Well, where's the perfect fourth? Well, that's from, we know that's from 7 up to 0. La, da, da, da. So we're starting on a chord that starts, a scale that starts on E. So besides, if we account for the E and the B, the other two notes are F and G. That's just our classic G13 chord. Where this is 0, the 6 of the chord is 0, the flat 7 of the chord is 1, and the root of the chord is 3, and the third of the chord is 7. That's very confusing, so maybe I shouldn't even have said that. What I'm talking about is that this shape doesn't care what chord you're making. It's still 0, 1, 3, 7, but the 0 in this case starts on the 6 of the chord. Okay, now we're going to make it bigger. We're going to do a tritone. Now the tritone exists between 1 and 7, because the difference between 1 and 7 is 6. That's a tritone. That puts us in a scale that starts on A, which we've already done this. Just not this particular voicing. So we want to keep this in the top. La da da da. We need an A and a C. We can do it like this. I'm playing A, C, B flat, E. La da 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 da. Scale, right? La, da, da, da. But now we just need to find a place for the B flat. So we have a B flat and a C somehow below this. How can we even do that? That's not so easy. We can do it like this. I'm playing B flat, C, A, E. We got G sharp to E. Well, the G sharp to E we know exists in the scale that has, it's like, that's between 3 and 7 is that interval, right? There's many ways you could do this. You could do it melodically and just think like, blah, 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 blah. Well, that has the G sharp and the E in it. So that means we need the C sharp and the D. Oh, I could do an open D here. This might be a way to discover some new chords, you know? This is not your usual way to play a 13th chord. Sorry. This is an E13, but this has a 6 down here. It's E6, 3rd, and the root up there. Okay, how about if we make it now? A major 6th. Well, that exists. That's going to be, okay, we're playing G and E, right? Okay, that's going to be in this one, the one that starts on E. Oh, I'm sorry. I want a G sharp. Oh, no, G natural, that's right. G natural and E. Putting this 6 on top. So if it's in this scale, that's E, F, G, B. That means we need an F and a B. That tritone needs to come somewhere else. If we have the... It's interesting. You can kind of divide these into two intervals also. So if you have a major 6, the thing that's left over is the tritone. Right? So the F and the B, where are they going to come from? We can come here. That's nice. We just play one note. Are open strings, F, G, B, E. Now we go to the minor 7th. It's getting harder to find a space for our lower notes, but we'll still try to do it. Let's see, is it possible? That whole step is from E to F sharp. That's going to be in the version of this 0137 that starts on D sharp, right? D sharp, E, F sharp, A sharp. That means we need the fifth, the perfect fifth from D sharp. Or from E flat to B flat. Well, it looks like we can still do it here. Not particularly easy, but we can go like this. Oh, that wasn't it. Sorry, I played the wrong thing there. I did an F for some reason. I was thinking a perfect fifth, but it's perfect fourth. La, da, da, da. So I'm playing, it looks like an E flat minor triad on the bottom. And just putting an E natural on top. Last one, major 7th, right? So if we have the major 7th, that's the inversion of the minor 2nd, but the one that has a major 7th in it from F to E has to start on E, E, F, G, B. Is there a way to do it? Sorry, we need a G and a B. No problem. We just play our dominant 7th chord down here. And we have like a 13th up on top. Then we get to the octave. So that way we went through all the intervals, like starting on the top and kind of increasing the interval and finding the other two notes. I know that was a bit of a, maybe not so much of a meditation. That was a little bit more of a puzzle. But sometimes that can really spark creativity as well. So all interval tetrachords. This is a very interesting subject. I don't know. I haven't heard too many people talk about it as something to work on with improvisation, but I like to think of them and how they relate to octatonic scales. All of them are subsets of an octatonic. They're half of an octatonic scale, all of them. So you can make any all interval tetrachord very easily. I'll tell you how you can do it. Take a tritone, okay, whatever notes that is, F and B, whatever, and then take two other notes that are a minor third apart, let's say G and B flat, okay? And as long as those two things don't share any notes, like you can't take F and B and then B and D, because those overlap, right? You take F and B and B flat and D flat, you know, stick those together, and you'll have one of these. You can only do it four ways. You can do that on your own, because this video is long enough. So have a great beginning of the week. Further on in this week, we'll be finishing up the series for Dog Star and the series for Hot House. I'll be going to Boston playing with Miguel Zinon on Friday at MIT. So if you happen to be in the Cambridge or Boston area, great group with Miguel called Golden City. It was nominated for a Grammy, and Matt Mitchell, Dan Weiss, a whole bunch of people in this band. So check that out if you can. All right, see you next time. Well, that's it for today's episode. I hope you found it useful for your personal work. This podcast was produced by Ed Gavitt, with the original source being a video on Patreon. If you'd like to see this video, head on over to Patreon and search for Work with Miles Okazaki. If you go through a browser and sign up as a member, it's a very small fee. And if you like the convenience of the iOS app, it's just a little bit more. In any case, as a member, you have access to categories such as exercises for the guitar, things to download, things to practice, guided practice sessions where I practice and you play along, a category called the Language of Jazz where I go through standards and famous solos, transcriptions, listening sessions, and also a complete series on every composition by Thelonious Monk as it might be played on the guitar. I do detailed demonstration of material from my book Fundamentals of Guitar and have prepared special exercises and software even for members of the site. Every Sunday we sit down with some Bach, take a look at some violin sonatas, cello suites, inventions, well-tempered clavier, things like that. We work on sight reading, we work on listening, exercises to train your ear, exercises to train rhythmically off the instrument. And then as often as I can, I sit down and do a mailbag episode where I go through listener questions and answer them directly. We're having a lot of fun over there, and I really hope you can join us. And thanks for joining us today on this podcast version and for your support of creative music. See you next time.